And I could not get in unless I was going to. kind of orders town to count how many citizens believe in God and then to monitor them. Well, this is their ongoing persecution of Christians. We know that it's escalating in China right now more and more and more. And so that's just what's been going on over there. And so we see that they're going to have citizen police force to monitor the Christians, right? They'll get rewards for turning in and monitoring Christians in China. New York bans declawing cats, but allows abortion up to birth and infanticide, of course. They allow all that, but oh my, you can't even declaw your cat, so that's cruel punishment. Oh, that's just cruel to the poor cat. What about cruel to the babies, cruel to the women that are aborting the babies? Something's wrong there with that picture, I'd say. Yes, it is. And Joe Biden would have his Justice Department, if he's elected president, overturn every pro-life law nationwide. Yeah, he's so pro-killing children, babies, that is, in the womb, that he would just, everything that the president has done to save life, he would overturn it all. Yeah, go ahead and get back the way things were. Pray that none of these type of people get elected in Jesus' name. That's my prayer, because it's against the scripture. You kill babies and then murder, that's wrong. Attorney General Barr reinstates the federal death penalty and immediately schedules 5 executions. So now the federal death penalty is back in place, which hasn't been for a number of years. Yeah, so now they're going to go ahead and execute some people for their crime. Well, yeah, I know, but where's the mercy? But yeah, the other side of it is an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. If you kill someone, you have to be killed, and unless it's in self-defense, of course. That's different in the Bible. But anyway, Mariano Rivera, a baseball Hall of Famer who played with the New York Yankees, defended his support for President Donald Trump. That's right. His former Yankee great was accused of serving at the pleasure of a racist president. Hey, that's their favorite word, by the way, is racist or Nazi. Racist first, and then Nazi, even though that's simply a lie. President Trump is not a racist. He's not a Nazi. But the Democrats are acting more like racist and Nazis than the president is. But that's the last buzzword, racist and Nazi, and racist and Nazi, never ending. People are tired of the foolishness and the childishness that's going on here. Why is this going on? Why does this continue? Yeah, it's amazing. Everybody's a racist if they don't agree with them. Right, if you agree with the Dems, you're not a racist, but if you don't, you're a racist, or not, or both. Woman gets engaged to a 20-inch wide chandelier named Lumiere, but takes a different one to bed. She claims she is attracted to objects. That's right, Amanda Liberty first fell in love with a drum kit at 14, and then the Statue of Liberty. Okay, well, is that idolatry? What's up with that? That strange demon making people love objects. But nevertheless, that's what she does. Billionaire pedophile Jeffrey Epstein back in jail after being rushed to the hospital with neck injuries following a suicide attempt. It could have been a ploy to get him transferred to a better place. But witnesses say he was blue in the face. So, I don't know. It might have just been something where an inmate assaulted him. May have been an assault by other inmates. That inmates were interviewed as well, at least one. Some say his injuries are not serious. Now, Dr. McCullough says the American medical system has become one big sham, he says. They want you to get sick because there's no money in well people, nor in preventative medicine to keep you from getting sick in the first place, to tell you how to prevent sickness. There's no money in that either. And he says their unethical profiteering may be undermining your health. Well, that would make sense because they don't want anybody to not get sick, because if you don't get sick, then you won't be coming in for their help. You won't be spending your money. And the insurance company won't be giving them those multi-millions of billions of dollars that they make. And the prescription drug company can't peddle their wares. So, yeah, it's all got to fit into their system. That's what Dr. McCullough says. Anyway, that's pretty much the news today that I have for you. And so, yeah, most people are not here tonight because they can't give up on me not being here. But I did get in, finally, after a half hour of trying, and they wouldn't let me in. Over and over, they wouldn't let me get in, no matter what happened. So I had to continue trying for 30 minutes, and finally I got through, and it worked. But it wasn't working the whole time. Isn't that amazing? You think that was an attack of the enemy? Or do you think they were just having mechanical problems? Or do you think that's both? Do people wonder sometimes, what is the enemy? What's the mechanical problem? Well, you think the enemy couldn't be involved in mechanical problems as well? Of course he can. He can do all kinds of things with mechanical stuff. He can get in there and mess with things. Oh, yeah. And he does. Of course he does. He's not stupid. He knows how to hinder things from taking place and block things from going on. And yeah, he's not a dumb devil, but, you know, the Lord is way smarter than him. Got to know that, too. The Lord is way smarter than the devil. And so, you know, we have the mind of Christ, so there are ways that we can be smarter than the devil with the mind of Christ. Maybe not apart from the mind of Christ, but with the mind of Christ, yes. Because the mind of Christ is exactly that, the mind of Christ. It has the anointing of Jesus on it, has the heavenly blessing on it. So, hallelujah, right? Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. We need to learn about that mind of Christ a lot more. We need to learn the function from it. Amen. That's right. So, I'm going to get started here today and first open up in some prayer. I'm really disappointed in the way that things went here today as far as getting up the program on time and therefore losing everybody that was listening because it wasn't there and people just gave up. So disappointed about that, and I rebuke the devil for that in Jesus' name. I guess I'll have to talk to Blog Talk Radio again and tell them, hey, here we have another problem again with the program. Seems like I've had a few with the chat room, but this is the first time I haven't been able to get into my own program ever that this has happened. All right. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you that we are able to finally get in here. I almost just quit and gave up getting in here. But finally, I said, well, I'll try it one more time, and that one more time got me in. Well, I thank you that you must have wanted me to be here for someone, so I'm here for someone. And I pray it'll be a blessing to this, whoever someone listens, and pray that they'll be blessed and encouraged with this. And you're very special to the Lord, whoever you are, right? Of course you are. The Lord loves you. And if I did a whole program for one person, it's worth it, right? Because that one person is so valuable to Jesus Christ that he let me get in here in spite of all the resistance that we've had. So, Father, thank you for the person and anybody else that gets to hear this program. Thank you for the grace that got me in here. And I thank you, Lord, for each person who will hear this message, if it only be one, at least someone heard. So praise God. I thank you. Thank you for your love for me. I thank you for your love for people, Lord, the church. And I tell you, you're so good to us, Lord. I just thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Oh, you are just wonderful, Lord. Wonderful and awesome God that you are. I just praise you. Praise you and worship you. I thank you for healing our bodies, those of us who have things going on in our body, and that's most everybody has been attacked in their physical body. So pray for those tonight that are dealing with some kind of a physical issue in their physical body. And I rebuke it right now in Jesus' name. And declare by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. We are healed. Everybody who's sick in some manner today is healed. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for touching them right now. In Jesus' name, with health and healing. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you and give you the glory for it. And we commit this time to you, Lord. May the power of the Holy Spirit permeate the people listening. May the power of God go into their mortal bodies and quicken those mortal bodies. Bring life to those mortal bodies. In Jesus' name, for your glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. Amen. I want to talk to you about a very important subject tonight, the importance of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is so important to every believer because the Bible says that we should not forbid the speaking in tongues, and that's part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You tell me you got the baptism without speaking in tongues, I tell you, you didn't take the whole package. That's right. A Christian without the baptism of the Holy Spirit will walk in little power compared to the believer who has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, those who have received the Holy Spirit, by the way, are not better than those who haven't. It's just you doing what the scripture says. You wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. Now, it may not be in Jerusalem, but you did receive your power from on high. And God told his disciples not to go out until they had received that. Because they needed that power from on high. They needed their prayer language. They needed to be able to. Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. So Paul prayed in tongues a lot. And yeah, this is a different title than what I had planned tonight, but see, I have less time, so I decided to talk about something else. And we'll just do next week what I had planned for today. Okay? Unless the Lord tells me to do something else, right? But I'm feeling a need to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power that comes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and walking in it and staying full of the Spirit. So it's important for each of you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and that each of you know it's scriptural and why you have been. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's a secondary experience after salvation. A baptism or an equipping with power. You mean I don't already have the Holy Spirit when I got saved? Oh, yes, you do. You have the Holy Spirit when you get saved? Of course you do. The Bible says that. In fact, Jesus, in John 20:22, after he won the victory on the cross already and came up out of the grave, he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That was their born-again experience. See? If they weren't born again before then, they are definitely born again now because he breathed on them the Holy Spirit and they got the Holy Spirit, but they didn't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See? He paid the price for sin, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit, and they had the Holy Spirit. Thus, every believer has the Holy Spirit when they get born again, but not every believer is baptized in the Holy Spirit, and many of the believers go to heaven without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, either because they're against it, they don't believe in it, or they never heard about it. Well, that's just the way it is for many. And so, just like you can be a believer without being baptized in water, although it is God's will that you be baptized in water, and He tells you to be baptized in water, you can also be a believer without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I know there's denominations that will say, oh, you can't be a believer if you're not baptized. But what about the person that's on the deathbed and they confess Christ and they can't go get baptized in water? They may only have 5 minutes to live and they can't get out of the bed. And yet they got saved at the last minute because they chose Jesus and believed and repented for their sins. But they did get baptized, but they're still saved. Acts 1:4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. So you're going to be a witness and you're going to have power. You need power to be a strong witness, but yes, you can still witness, but hey, that's an equipping to be a witness, an equipping with power, and you receive the prayer language to pray in the Spirit too, in tongues, because that's what happened when He poured out the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utter. So, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the disciples were transformed and spoke boldly. That's right. They spoke boldly. Isn't that what we need, to be bold? Instead of ashamed, just to be shy and fearful what people are going to think about Jesus in us. Remember, Jesus said in Luke 24:49, He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He says, again, it's about power. It's also a rest and a refreshing to you. God wants you to rest. God wants you to be refreshed. And the Holy Spirit talks about in Isaiah, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, in Isaiah 28, the rest and the refreshing. Oh, how we need to be refreshed. Well, you need to be refreshed. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the tongues. Pray in your prayer language. It edifies you. It builds you up. Isaiah 28:11, but with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people, to whom He said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet ye would not hear it. See, that's the reference to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the refreshing for the weary. What is speaking in tongues? Again, it builds you up and strengthens you, refreshes you, and fills you up to overflowing. And you get in the spirit realm. And Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The baptism of the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the speaking in tongues is the rest and the refreshing. People that are on nerve pills, they can't rest. Pray in tongues. You got to be rested. You got to be refreshed. Just start praying in tongues. Get off that pill and start praying in the Spirit. Yeah, that would be the Lord's advice, I believe. But that's what He said. But anyway, why do you need it? And the scriptural evidence of it. Well, first, because Jesus said you need it. Man, I can tell you all day what it was like to be in Haiti when we went down to Haiti on mission trips and saw all kinds of things happen there. And first day we were there, there were gunshots in the city going off, and that was strange. But that was in Port-au-Prince. But unless you went there, you still wouldn't understand or know what it was like. So you had to go to know, see? And those who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they criticize it, well, you can tell them all day, but you know what? They haven't been there. They can't understand until they receive it, and if they don't want to receive it, then they'll never understand it until Jesus comes. And I believe it's gift is for here, not for eternity. I mean, it's for here on the earth to receive power. So they may never get to experience it. I don't know. But they can't understand it just because, you know, I tell them something about it. It's like they couldn't understand what it's really like to be in Haiti until they go down there. That's right. You know, if you're driving down the road and you run over somebody, you know, they tell you don't stop, because if you stop, you will get stoned for running over somebody. They will kill you. They will stone you to death. That's right. I mean, can you imagine living in a country that did that? Right. But you haven't been there. You can imagine what it was like there. You can picture things in your mind when people tell you about it, but then, again, if you haven't been there, you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay? And there are many people who persecute us or say we're of the devil because we speak in tongues. And we cast out devils too, but that's another story. But, you know, the Bible says forbid not to speak in tongues. So if people are forbidding it, they're disobeying the word of God. Well, there are people that do forbid it. I remember the Baptist preacher. He forbid the speaking in tongues because we got one of the people that went to his church baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he was all excited. But he said, don't you ever speak in tongues yet. We will escort you out of the building. It's forbidden. Well, he was forbidding the speaking in tongues, see? And he's disobeying the word of God. He'll have to give account for that problem someday. 1 Corinthians 14:39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. A lot of those new Pentecostal denominations, I mean those non-Pentecostal denominations, like the Baptist, the Church of Christ, the Nazarenes, the Lutherans, etc., a lot of them failed to believe the Bible and were speaking in tongues in the baptism of the Holy Spirit concerning, man, I tell you what, the demons hate it. And heaven loves it when you pray in tongues. Right? You get just that spiritual connection that you wouldn't have otherwise at that level, see, when you're praying in the Spirit, speaking the things of the Lord, speaking in the language of men and of angels. Right? I mean, I was speaking in tongues in church one day at our church a few years back, and there was a lady in there that spoke Hebrew. She was a Jewish lady. And she told me I was speaking in perfect Hebrew. Right. So, see, you know, the language of man and of angel. And so I didn't know Hebrew. I never learned it. See? But, you know, nevertheless, I was speaking in Hebrew in the tongue that God gave me. Hallelujah. Right. So don't be forbidding it. And so many of these people, they don't believe in the, a lot of people don't even believe in the virgin birth. The miracles of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. I mean, yet they claim to be Christian, they claim to be religious, and, well, why is that? Well, they're just deceived, see. The devil deceived them. And he's deceived a whole lot of people today about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, telling them it's of the devil, it's not for today, they're not able to receive it, or you try it and nothing happened, and blah, 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 all these different things, you know. It's just the lies of the devil, because he doesn't want people walking in the power today. He doesn't want you walking in the power. Yeah. So, anyway, you need it, okay? You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because Jesus, it was for his disciples, and it's for you, and it was for the people who received in the New Testament. And so it's for you, because it says this promise is to you and your children and to all that was far off, right? But they'll tell you, oh, it was just for the disciples only. But then you take them to Acts 2, and you prove it to them that it wasn't, right? You take them to Acts 2, verse 38-39, and you prove to them that, hey, that wasn't just for the disciples. That's for everybody that believes. Right? Let me read it to you. Acts 2, 38-39. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Have you been called by the Lord? I've been called by the Lord. So it's for you. And you need to be using it. Does Jesus change? No, he doesn't. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Yeah, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then why would he give the early church Christians that which he would not give to us, the Latter-day Church? Well, he wouldn't. See, it's for every believer. Signs and wonders for every believer, not just for the early church. It's just we got a lot of resistance to those signs and wonders today. We got a lot of resistance to the supernatural of God. Doesn't mean God doesn't make it available to us. You know, what's available may not be taken by some because they just don't believe it. Doesn't mean it isn't there. It's for as your faith is, be it unto you. That's what it, everything in the kingdom of God is like that. As your faith is, be it unto you. As your faith is, be it unto you. If you don't believe, you're not going to partake of it. See? You reject it, and you say it's not of God, it's not for the days, and you won't be enjoying the blessing of it. I want to look at some who have believed but not received the Holy Spirit yet. Let's look at them here in Acts 8. Over here. Turn over to Acts 8, verse 5. So I know this is a different subject than what I planned, but see, we didn't get to start the show till late because the blog talk radio wasn't working right. Yeah, and so I decided to preach next week the message that I have prepared for tonight, or unless God gives me something else for next week, I will do whatever he says. But anyway, this is what I feel I should talk about since we didn't have as much time. I lost the first 30 minutes because of Blog Talk Radio messing things up. And I called in over and over and over, and they would not let me in the program. They would not let me get it going today. So that was resistance from the enemy, most likely, and mechanical problems on their part. But why did it have to happen when our program was due to start, right? Unless it was, you know, a timed attack of the enemy, right? Yeah. Well, anyway, Acts 8:5, we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit and how you need to walk in that baptism of the Holy Spirit. A little different subject tonight, but hey, it's one I felt we should do. Then Philip went down to Samaria, Acts 8:5. Philip went down to Samaria, the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. Verse 12. And to him they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with the sorcery. So there was a sorcerer there, Simon the sorcerer, in the land, right? And they all gave him some great regard, like he's some great one, and he saw what was going on. Simon himself believed, and when verse 13, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. And when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw, that's right, notice he saw something. He saw them doing what? When they laid their hands on them, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. The key here, he saw something that he wanted. He saw him speaking in tongues, right? He saw the power come upon him. He saw him speaking in tongues. That's right. See, they believed, but they did not receive the Holy Spirit, so the apostles went down and prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. It happened. So this is the case with many Christians today. They've been evangelized, but no one has led them into the power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we clearly see it's a separate experience from salvation. You know, they believed. Simon even believed. But boy, notice, nothing had impressed Simon the sorcerer enough yet to get him to part with his money. But now, boy, he's offering money because he saw many healed and delivered. Yet he didn't offer money for those things. But in verse 18, he saw something when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that made him offer money. No doubt it was the speaking in tongues, the outward manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and seeing the power of God upon these people as they were speaking in tongues. And you say, do all speak in tongues receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I believe it is the outward manifestation of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe it's your prayer language, because Paul is praying in tongues more than y'all, more than everybody. So, yeah, I believe that it comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and without speaking in tongues, your package is not complete, okay? Because it's just that that's the way that they received in the Bible. So, would you agree that Paul is a pattern for New Testament Christians? I believe he is. I believe he's a pattern for New Testament Christians. Are you a New Testament Christian? And you should pattern your life after Jesus and Paul, too, because Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So he was a good pattern. When he followed Christ, he was a good pattern. And so 1 Timothy 1:16, it says, albeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them that which should I hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So there's a pattern in Paul. Paul had a pattern in him from God for us to follow after. There was Jesus in him, his walk with Jesus. Okay, so let's go to Acts 9:17 then. If we see that to be true, what happened to Paul? Acts 9, verse 17. Let's see what it says here. Okay. It says here that and Ananias went his way and entered into the home and putting his hands on him said, Brother Paul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me that thou mightest receive sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. I be filled with the Holy Ghost, right? You say, but it doesn't say he spoke a tongue. Yes, it does. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. See, he spoke in tongues. Now, Paul is our New Testament example, spoke in tongues, and he did. Then should we? Well, of course we should. Because he was an example. He's a pattern for us, as we saw in 1 Timothy 1:16. And then we see that Ananias came, laid hands on him, and he received and was filled with the Holy Ghost, right? And so let's look at another important one and turn the page to Acts 10. Because you need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to be praying in tongues every day. Amen. Acts 10. Now look at the verses here. 44. While Peter yet spoke those words, the Holy Ghost fell on who? The Gentiles, them that heard the word. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Spirit. How'd they know they'd received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, it tells you in verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Right? They heard him speak with tongues. That's how they knew that the Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit like they did. And, of course, it says in the next verse, it says, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? In other words, they received it just like we, so should not these people also be able to be baptized too? See, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before they were even baptized in water. But they were born again. See, you have to be born again to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have to be born again. Otherwise, you're receiving false tongues. You're receiving something that's not God. Demons can babble in tongues, but it's a false tongue. It's not a spiritual tongue. It's not the tongue that brings you into life and power. They could do that. Sure, to deceive, and they do deceive. There's a false tongue. There's a false baptism of the Holy Spirit, like the Mormons have the burning in the bosom. Oh, have you had your burning in the bosom? Well, if you haven't, well, you need to have that burning in the bosom, the Mormons say. That's a testimony. It's a burning in the bosom. Well, that's a demon burns in their bosom, right? Yeah, it is. And demons can be real religious too, folks. You know that. Demons can be religious. They can put on a show. They can make you think that you got something from God when it's something from the devil. See? And so, anyway, praise God. Because the Gentiles received. They received the Holy Spirit just like the Jews did. the Jewish apostles. So how did the disciples know that they had received the Holy Spirit? For they heard them speak with tongues. And this, of course, became the pattern for all the Gentiles, all the people that were not Jews to receive the Holy Spirit. What happened? They spoke in tongues, received the power. Look at Acts 11:15. Acts 11:15, it says here, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, the Gentiles, as on us at the beginning. How do they know it was as them on the beginning? Because they spoke in tongues, it says. I just read it to you. The Bible doesn't lie. The Bible can't lie. God's the author of the Bible, okay? And so when Peter reported back to the other apostles, he stated it happened just like it happened to us. So both the Jews and the Gentiles spoke in tongues when they received the Holy Spirit baptism. Okay? Hallelujah. Let's go to another proof here out of the Word of God. Acts 19:1-2. Acts 19:1-2. It came to pass that while the apostles were at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. There were disciples there, and he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we're not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Yeah, they hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit, but they were believers. They were born again. And the first question that Paul asked those folks, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? It seemed clear that they were disciples because they were saved. And obviously, Paul wouldn't have asked them if they received the Holy Spirit if they weren't saved, right? They believed in Messiah Jesus, but only through whatever way that they believed, maybe John the Baptist or whatever. But, yeah, John the Baptist. Under John's baptism. But it was clear by Paul's question that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is secondary after he became a believer, and that you can believe and be saved without having the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? And so this is where we differ. In Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow them that believe, right? They shall speak with new tongues. And they only believe part of the scripture. So they only receive what they believe. These signs follow them that believe. If you don't believe it, you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. You're not going to happen to you, right? Because you don't believe it. You don't want it, and you don't believe in it. But we differ because we do believe, and they only believe part of it, part of the scripture in Mark chapter 16, right? But we believe the whole thing. We believe we're going to cast out demons. A lot of people don't believe that either, but it's in that scripture. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, right? And a lot of people don't believe that. They criticize you. They persecute you. They talk down upon you and speak evil of you because you speak in tongues and cast out devils and, yeah, lay hands on the sick. That's all part of Mark chapter 16:17 through the end there, talking about what God going to do to people today. Believers, them that believe. Okay? I'll tell you, there are a lot of benefits of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's power. There's the ability to pray. When you don't know how to pray, you pray in tongues. I don't know what to pray, but I'm going to pray in the Spirit. You just start praying in the tongues, praying in your tongues. And you'll be getting through to heaven. You'll be praying and interceding for what needed to be prayed and interceded through that you didn't know in your natural mind, but the Holy Spirit always knows, so he can pray through you what needs to be prayed. The gifts of the Spirit, more likely to operate in somebody who's been baptized in the Holy Spirit, of course. And I've not seen people operate in the gifts of Spirit much that weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay? I certainly haven't seen anyone who wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit operate in tongues and interpretation of tongues in church that hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, see? Okay? Yeah. Builds you up. It builds you up like a charger on a battery. You know, you put you on a charger, what's going to happen? You're going to get built up in the Holy Ghost, right? You're going to get built up in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit are more evident than one that's baptized in the Holy Spirit. See, so you need to be praying in tongues if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not healthy for you not to pray in tongues. not elder for you not to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you want to obey God, if you want to have the power working in your life, I mean, demons hate it when you pray in tongues. They don't like it. You lay hands on somebody, start praying in tongues, and you're doing warfare, trying to cast demons out of them. Demons don't like that. No, they don't like it. That's because there's power there. They know it. They know that Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. They know all that. They're not stupid. The demons are not stupid. Huh? Of course not. So, very important. So, how do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, if you're a believer, it's already yours. It's available to you. Why? Because it's a gift, right? It's there for you. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the requirement is that you must be born again. And you don't have to beg and plead. You know, a lot of people beg and plead with God. No, just desire it with all your heart and ask for it. Ask to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Right? What if I offered you a gift in my hand and you refused to take it but kept on pleading with me to give it to you? Well, that's insulting to God. I mean, you just insult me. You insult God when you do that to God. See? You know, he offered you a gift and then you refused to take it, but you kept on pleading with him to give it to you. You'd feel that you weren't trusted if somebody did that to you. Well, God is extending the gift for you, to you. So you quit begging and you accept it. You receive it, right? He's not going to give you a serpent or a snake if you ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's not going to give you a serpent or a snake. He's going to give you power from on high. He's going to give you what he said he would. And just like you can't speak in English and German at the same time, you can't speak in tongues and English at the same time. So you don't speak in English when you're receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You speak in your prayer language as the Holy Spirit gives the utterance. See? So, yeah. So you don't just sit there and keep speaking in English when somebody prays for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you actually step out, open your mouth, and he fills it. That's what happens. I may know that the dove was a type of the Holy Spirit in the Bible there. And when that's right, that's what they said the Holy Spirit descended as a dove, right? Or the like a dove. Now Genesis 8, let's read verse 8. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters, this is Noah, were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet, and she returned unto him into the ark. And for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. And then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet. And again, he stayed yet other 7 days. And again, he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive tree plucked off. But Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. Okay? And he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. So when the dove was first sent out by Noah from the ark, it found only judgment, so it returned. Right? This signifies the dispensation of the Father and the law. Yeah, the old covenant. And the second time Noah sent out the dove and she landed on an olive branch and brought it back. This was a type of the dispensation of the Son, Jesus, when the Holy Spirit came on Christ, Jesus, and he walked the earth in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the third time Noah sent out the dove and the dove did not return. The last time and the third time is the type of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit and the time that the Holy Spirit came from heaven to abide in the believer. And that's the time that we're in right now, right? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The last day's outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That happened, started on the day of Pentecost, right? So, we saw the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit all down through the ages. We see the Trinity in the operation as we do right now. We're body, soul, and, and spirit. We're in three parts ourselves, just like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three, we're three, body, soul, spirit, three. See, the three-day fast, there's so many threes in the Bible. We see that. And so he desires to empower us to do mighty things in God. And so if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, do you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You can. We could pray right here, right now. I've had others receive when I prayed before about this. So, yeah, it's up to you. You can, and we can pray tonight, and you can receive the power from on high and begin to pray in your prayer language, and you begin to see. You can begin to see greater things in your spiritual life. So you need spiritual life in you. You need a greater spiritual anointing. And if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit already, you know what? You should be praying in tongues. You should be doing it. You should just be, oh, well, I received it 10 years ago, and I haven't spoken tongue maybe once or twice since then. That was it, you know. I didn't know I needed to be doing it all. Well, Paul was. You think that you got it just for it to lie dormant within you, just for the gifting of the Holy Spirit to lie dormant within you? Come on now. That's not accurate. That's not accurate. God gives you things to use them. God gives you things to be edified with them. He gives you things to walk in them, to manifest them in your life. And so you need the power, saint. You need the power. And if you want to receive this baptism of power, then we will pray here today, and you can receive the power from on high, because I tell you what, when you're much more effective, I believe, in deliverance. I mean, there are those that do cast out demons that don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I believe that there's more power for those who are casting out demons than those that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's more power when they go in warfare and they go and cast out demons. There's more power. The demons don't like it because they know that this person is baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it irritates them more. It stirs them up more. And they get intimidated and they want to come out. Right? So, yeah, it's important for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and power in your life. Amen. And to pray in tongues daily. I do every day. I pray in the Spirit every day, every day, every day. Yeah. And I do. I'm sorry. That's what I do. I mean, why would I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then never pray in tongues with it? Never use my prayer language. Hey, it has been given to me to use, not to lie dormant in me, not to go to no avail. So, yeah, this is important that you receive. So let's just pray for you to receive. If you listen to this program and you haven't received and you would like to, then now is your opportunity today to do so. And if you've already received, then you can just be praying in the Spirit with me. Amen. So let me try to explain it to you the best way I can here. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I pray for you, first of all, I want you to ask God to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Ask Him. Just say, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to baptize me with the Holy Spirit and power with my prayer language as well. In Jesus' name, right now. So just ask Him that. And now I'm going to have you repeat a prayer after me. And then I'm going to pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to begin to pray in tongues for a little bit. And I want you to just open up your mouth and begin to make the noise. That's the easiest way for me to explain this. And He will form the word. He says the Spirit gives the utterance. So, but if you don't ever open your mouth and make any noise, then He can't really give an utterance because you're thinking He's going to jerk and move your mouth. And He doesn't do that. So you open your mouth. You open your mouth and begin to make the noise. He forms the words, and as quick as you can speak out, He will form those words, see. And of course, the enemy will always attack you. Say, oh, you're just making it up. And that's just what the enemy does to try to keep you from really being filled with the Holy Spirit the way that God wants you filled with the Holy Spirit. All right. So just now you prayed that. You asked the Lord to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now just say, in Jesus' name, Father, I ask you to baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you say that. I ask you to baptize me with the Holy Spirit and give me my prayer language and power and fill me to overflowing in Jesus' name. Okay? Now, Father, I'm gonna pray, Father, in Jesus' name for you, people. I pray for you in Jesus' name, Father, that you would baptize them with the Holy Spirit and power in the name of Jesus, Father. Pour out your Spirit upon them. Baptize them with the Holy Ghost now. And fill them up to overflowing and give them their prayer language as well. And let that power be manifest in their life now. In Jesus' name. Now I'm just going to begin to pray in tongues. I want you to join in with me. It may not sound just like mine. It doesn't need to. See, there's so many different tongues. Okay? But just open your mouth. Begin to make the noise. After you open it, he'll form the word. John Nabe Shikiramama Borrabaki Shikiramanamoko. Come on, just open your mouth. Let it begin to come out. Just come on, speak it out. Don't speak in English. Open your mouth and begin to make the noise. He'll form the words. The Holy Spirit will give the utterance. Holy Spirit will give the utterance. You open your mouth. You be in faith and open that mouth. Begin to speak. He will form those words. Let him form. Believe him. Come on, believe him. It's yours. His promises to you, your children, and all that are far off, even as many as should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, this is for you. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. Come on. That's what he said. So open your mouth and he will fill it. But you make the noise, he'll form the words. As fast as you can speak them out, they'll come. That's it, just speak it out. You need the power, you need the power. Yes, thank you Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, be filled with power in Jesus' name, be filled in Jesus' name. Keep on. Let it come out of there. Let it begin to flow. Let it begin to flow out. Baptized in the Holy Spirit of fire and power. Yes, you need it. You need it. It's yours. It's a gift. Yes, to all that believe. Yes, let him form the word. You open your mouth. He will form those words. Arribeke, you make that noise. Arribeke, come on, both. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, you need the Holy Ghost power in your life. You need it. You need that. Thank you for the Holy Ghost and fire. Thank you for the Holy Ghost and power. Thank you, Jesus. Arribeke, shikaramano, both. Yes, amen. Let the Lord edify you as you pray in that. Just keep doing it. If you receive for the first time, just keep doing it throughout the evening, throughout the day, and let it get good and established in you. And don't be surprised if the enemy comes and tells you that you're just faking it, you're just making it up, because he does that sort of thing to try to get you to quit, try to get you to stop. He just does desperate measures. He doesn't want you to be speaking in tongues. He doesn't want you to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's right. You know that's the way of the enemy. He just wants to stop you from walking in the things of God. But you need the things of God. You need to be spiritual. You need to walk in power. You need to walk in the anointing. Amen. The anointing breaks the yoke, right? The Bible says. And the yokes of bondage, there are many out there in the land. I'll tell you that. Oh, yeah. There are many in the land today, and you probably face some this week. If you've seen people in bondage, or you have dealt with the bondage in yourself that you're still not free from. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Why is it that some believers seem to have so much spiritually and others have so little? Well, why do you think that is? Well, you got to make more room for God. And one way you make room for God is in the Spirit, as you pray in the Spirit. You get filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, be filled with the Spirit, not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Yeah. So, listen. God has not made the manifestation of his promises contingent on any of man's conditions, right? That would be legalism. No. Oh, I tell you what, they're gifts, and they come by faith as you believe and receive them. Okay? A lot of the churches, they just lack spiritual discernment today. Let's just face it. They lack spiritual discernment, and that's why they can't really answer the question that I asked. Why do some believers seem to have so much spiritually and others have so little spiritually? Is because they don't have room for God, and they lack the spiritual discernment to answer this question. Tell you one thing, though, we should be most grateful that the Lord doesn't realign his faithfulness to conform to our concept of his probable behavior, right? Because we don't have him all figured out. We've got a lot to learn, people. We got a lot to learn about Jesus. We got a lot to learn yet about spiritual warfare. We got a lot to learn in this short time that we're on earth. But then again, we got eternity to get to know God better and better and better and better. But we ought to be busy doing it now so we won't be strangers to him when we get there. Huh? So what's the difference between those who seem to receive so much from the Lord and those who don't? Well, the main difference is how much room do they have in their life? How much room have they made to receive God? Because all God you can get is all for receiving, right? Whatever you get of God is what you can receive from him by faith. And the recipient, need to make room for what they're going to receive, right? Yeah. So have you made room? Have you made hunger? Are you hungry for God today? See, Jesus stands at each door of your life. Inside of you, he stands at each of those doors, your inner life, and knocks. And if you have no room and don't make room for him and you don't invite him in, he's not going to force his way in there. But he will continue to knock, though. Come on, let me in. Jesus is knocking on the church to come in and sup with us. And there are many internal doors in a house. Like you live in a house, right? You have more than one door, right? The door to the bathroom, door to the bedroom, door to another bedroom, door to the utility room or whatever, different doors. Door to the basement, door to the closet. There are many rooms, many internal doors in a house. And just because you open one and let Jesus move in, that doesn't mean you've opened all the doors, does it? No, just because you open a door of salvation doesn't mean you've opened a door to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, see, like we talked about today. Talking about the door of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you got to open the door to that if you want to receive him. And have you opened the door of self today? Have you opened the door to deliverance, for your life to be delivered? Have you opened the door to do spiritual warfare, to let God do warfare through you? Have you opened the door to the fullness of the Spirit? Excuse me. You have to let him in. Have to let him in. Those who receive much have stripped off, worn down, and moved out the controls and strongholds of the old nature, therefore enlarging their capacity to receive Jesus, to receive more of Jesus. See, you're not going to let the old nature rule. See, so you're making room for God. And when you move furniture out of a room, what happens? The room looks larger. there's more room in the room to receive new furniture. There's room in the room to get more stuff in there because you move furniture out. So we got to move out the old so we can move in the new, right? And there's new thoughts, new beliefs, and according to the Word of God, that is, that people have not believed prior. And they start getting their eyes open spiritually, and they start saying, wow, I didn't see that before. Wow, wow, wow. And listen, I'm going to move some stuff out here that don't belong in here so I can move in what does belong in here, see? Get rid of those cluttered rooms, cluttered with junk and old furniture, old man, old ways, demons, stuff like that. But there's no room for anything new, see? Some of you have so much religion that you couldn't take anything new, see? Some of you have so much tradition that you can't believe God. Some of you have all these different hindrances so that you can't take in the things of God and can't take in healing, can't take in deliverance, can't take in walking by faith. I mean, these things are foreign to you because you have all this other stuff in there, that unbelief and all that old religious spirit and stuff like that from the world. So there's no room for the move of God in there. And remove some of them habits, right? The old leaven speaks of corruptness. Get that old leaven out. We go to 1 Corinthians 5. We're going to close this teaching out here with this. But 1 Corinthians 5. Here we're reading verse 7 and 8. It says, purge out therefore the old leaven. Purge therefore out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The old leaven speaks of corruptness and corrupt doctrine, corrupt teaching, corrupt practices. And if it's not spiritually sent from the Holy Spirit, it's corrupt. If it's not God, it's corrupt. See, a little corruptness might ruin the whole lump. See? A little corruptness might ruin the whole thing that God wants to fill you with. You take a little bit in there and messes things up. A little bit of worldliness, a little bit of ungodliness, a little bit of demons. That's all it takes. Mess things up. See? When you enlarge your capacity to receive by making room to receive Jesus, more of Him, then you cease to oppose yourself. See, a lot of people are opposing themselves. They oppose God's work in their life. They oppose what God wants to do in them. See? And therefore, they're opposing themselves in a sense because they're born again Christians. So you answer the door to Jesus, you let Him in. Let Him in. Don't keep Him out. Well, I'd let him in this place, but not this place. No, no, no. That closet's where I hide everything. Oh, well, you got to open that closet up to the light. See? That's right. Every believer shares an equal privilege, right, and ability. That's right. Equal privilege, a right, and ability to strip off, to tear down, to cast out, and to move out the old. To enlarge their capacity to receive God. And it's usually stuff we want to hold on to keep Jesus out. Like that self-rule, that stubbornness, pet doctrine, old habits, fear, worry, anxiety. That's right, attention getting, anger, stuff like that. Keep Jesus out. We're going to hold on to that stuff. What are we holding on to it for? What's it going to do you? What's it going to do for you? What do you think it's going to do for you? Not done anything in the past. Get you in trouble. But what's it going to do in the future? Do the same thing, right? That's the old, goes back to the old saying, if you do the same thing and expect different results, that is the proof of insanity, right? Because you can get different results from doing the same thing that never got you any different result in the first place before. So, time to change. Time to allow Jesus in there. and make a difference in your life. Amen? All right, well, we're going to stop here. Father, thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we are opening up our house to you, Lord, and letting you in every part of it. We don't want to hold anything back. We want you to fill us to overflowing. We want to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. We don't want to keep that unbelief in there. We don't want to keep that fearfulness of the unknown things of God, the things of God that we might not understand, that we're afraid of it. No, we don't want that. We want to let everything in, everything of you, that is. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you the glory for working in our lives today and doing a mighty work in us. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit in us now. And thank you for working mightily. Thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, Lord, we give you glory. All right. Amen. All right. So, yes, we had problems tonight with the program. It didn't start on time. We couldn't get in for the first half hour. So I decided to minister on something else today that's very important. And they're still putting up a note here right now that says they're currently experiencing issues with the functions of the programs, and that they're supposedly their engineers are actively working to resolve the issues. So we're going to take a short intermission here now and come back and cast out some demons tonight, because we already prayed for you that wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit tonight. So now we're going to go and do some ministry time of deliverance and anything else the Lord wants to do in the time that we have left today. And I will go in after the program and change the title to what we did talk about tonight so that people know what it is, and also that they know that they have to wait, unless the engineers fix it, they'll have to wait 30 minutes for the program, so not too many people might even listen this week. But those of you did, I'm glad you did. Get in here. Lord bless you for coming and showing up. We'll be back in about 4 minutes here after we take this little break, and then we'll do some ministry time and deliverance. Amen. Be right back.
Incredible, incomparable.
Magnificent, isn't he? Hallelujah, 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 Lord God. You are magnificent. You are glorious. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're going to cast out some demons here in Jesus' name. That's right. We're going to do that for the glory of the Lord and the freedom and the liberty of the saints. Yes, I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up on your freedom. Don't give up on God. Every day you're sucking air. You still believe. You're still living. You're still here on this earth. God has a purpose for you being here. Don't give up. Don't feel weary and well-doing. Don't let the enemy rob you. I know that, sometimes people are in pain. Sometimes people are suffering physically and seems like, wow, I can't go on. I can't keep doing this. I just don't know. Hey, look to Jesus. Look for grace. Call upon the name of the Lord. He is your strength. He's the only one that can see you through. Like, yeah, there's a medical profession, but they can't live in your body. They can't walk your walk for you. They can try to relieve some things and make money off you and all that. But listen, Jesus is the healer still. And I'd rather spend my whole life believing for healing than believing for sickness and just taking whatever came away, standing in faith for health and healing, rather than just giving up and giving in to the devil and letting him put whatever he wants on me. No, I'm going to stand against sickness. I'm going to stand against disease. I'm not going to let them take over. In Jesus' name, we resist the devil. He will flee. We know that sickness is rooted in sin and darkness and devil. They'll know that God is the healer. So if he's the healer, he's not going to be the sicker. He doesn't put sickness on people. Amen. And that depression, that discouragement, get worn out. That's the enemy trying to wear you out. The Bible said in the last days, he's going to try to wear out the saints of the Most High God. That's what he tries to do. Now let's get some demons out here. Okay? Just say, in the name of Jesus, I command every wicked spirit in me to come out of me now. I break every curse over myself, and I command the spirit that enforced the curse upon me to leave me now in Jesus' name. And I cover myself, come on, say it, I cover myself and my family with the blood of Jesus. Right now, you cannot go into them when you leave me. All right, there we go. Now, some of you would like to gamble. Well, we come against that gambling spirit. We come against that spirit of gambling right now, the gaming spirit too. The one that likes to play games, video games, that gaming spirit that gets in there and tries to take you over, get you obsessed with it. I've seen it destroy some people's lives, that gaming spirit. Come out, and I've seen that gambling spirit also destroy some people's lives. So we come against that gambling spirit, that gaming spirit, command those spirits, come out right now. We break that curse. We break the habit. We break the addiction. Come out. Come out. Addiction to gaming, addiction to gambling. You come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come on. Let them go. Take a deep breath. Blow those demons out. Take a few coughs. Get them on me. All that gambling spirit, all those gaming spirits, come out, come out. All those addiction spirits, come out, 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 out of there. All the way up out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to go. You have to come out now in Jesus' name. All those gambling spirits, all those gaming spirits, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. We break these ungodly soul ties with games and with gambling. Yes, all the way out. Make those soul ties. Create soul ties with objects as well as with things. As well as with people. It can be done, folks. But we break that in Jesus' name. And command those spirits to keep coming out. All the way out. All the way out. All that gambling spirit. All that addiction. Go. Go. All that timidity. Shyness. Go. Go, 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 come out, 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 rebellion, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. In Jesus' name, rebellious spirit, we rebuke the spirit of rebellion. I rebuke the spirits of rebellion, come out in Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out, all rebellion has to go. We break that rebellion, we break out of that agreement with rebellion in Jesus' name. You got to get out of agreement with that rebellion. You can't join in with all the people in this nation right now that are in rebellion against God, rebellion against holiness, rebellion against what's right, and they're calling good evil and evil good. We've got a perverse nation right now, perverted nation, a nation that is believing wrongly. I'm saying at least half the people of the nation, if not more, maybe 90% for all I know. I don't know, but God has his remnant, okay? God has his remnant, and they're going to be holy. They're going to walk full of God. They're going to be not rebellious, but they're going to be yielding to God all the way out of there. Come on, all that stubbornness, all that rebellion, come out. All that doing my thing, running up, I'm going to do what I want, come out of there. I rebuke that spirit right now. Come out, 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 come out. That independent spirit, that spirit of control, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out, all the way out, come 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 out, in Jesus' name, Jesus' name, all those spirits of night terrors, that's night, that come in the night, come on, nightmares, night terrors, come out, spirit of death, come out, come out, spirit of death that comes in to visit at the night times of the night seasons. Come on, some people living under a perpetual spirit of death. We rebuke that spirit of death. Come out. Come out. All that spirit of death. All those night spirits of death, too. Come out. Night terrors, nightmares. Come out. 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 All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus right now. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Out, 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 out of there. All the way out. The blood of Jesus is against you right now. I apply that blood against you, demon. That's right. You got to go all the way out, all the way out, all the way. That spirit of bitterness, you come out. Spirit of bitterness. You break the curse of bitterness and unforgiving spirits. Come out. Come out right now. That unforgiveness. Jesus' name. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. That's right. You can become better. You can give place to a root of bitterness. If you don't watch yourself, it's easy to do, folks. I'm telling you now. You know, a lot of people don't realize how they're carrying that stuff around with them. You got to forgive. You got to let go. I mean, I don't care what they've done. But it's not something that would do you good for carrying it and thinking you're going to get even with them by holding unforgiveness and bitterness toward them. That isn't going to fix them. It's certainly going to make you worse because you open up doors to demons when you yield to that. So that unforgiving spirit come out. All that unforgiveness, go in the name of Jesus right now. Go, go. All that bitter root, come out. Come out now, all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. Resentment, come out. Resentment, too. Come on, all that resentment spirit, come out. Come out, come out. Come out of there. Grudges, holding a grudge. Come out, all the way out of that grudges. Holding grudges and blaming. That blaming spirit, always blaming so-and-so, blaming your husband, blaming your wife. Come out now, all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go right now. All the way up out of there in Jesus' name. Come out, blaming spirit. Going to blame others.
Come on, all the way out. All the way out. All that self-pity that works in there, come out, come out, come out. Self-pity. Poor me. Poor me. Look at me. Look at what I got to deal with. Look at all that I've had to go through. Look at how they've all done me so wrong. I'm so beat up. Oh, poor me. Self-pity, come out. Come on, you come out of there, you liar. Deceiving spirit, come out. Self-pity. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. Come out, self-pity, all the way out. All the way up out of there. All that self-pity. Gotta go. Gotta go right now. I bind you. I break your hold. Come out. All the way out. Up and out. Come out, self-pity. Up and out of there. All the way up out of there. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All that pride, too. Come out. The pride that won't let you face yourself. The pride that won't let you break through into seeing what areas you need to be free from. Yeah, because pride is a covering, right? So it's got to cover up all the demons that it's got under it. All that pride, we just unleash the angels of God upon you, the warring angels right now. Go and sword that pride right now. Come out of there, pride. Come out, pride, in Jesus' name. All those prideful spirits, come out. Come out now in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out, come out, come out, pride. Come out. Little pride, big pride, family pride, spiritual pride, religious pride. Come out. Come out, pride. All that pride. We're talking to you today. Yeah, come out of there. All that pride. Come out, pride. Come on, take a couple deep coughs. Get these spirits moving out of you. Come on. All the way out. All that pride. All those prideful spirits. Go all the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name, come out of there. Prideful spirits. Got to go. I got to go right now. All the way out. All the way up and out, up and out, up and out. All the way out. Let them go. All the way up out of there. In Jesus' name. All pride. All little pride, big pride, family pride, religious pride, spiritual pride, family line pride, racial pride, whatever you raise. I'm a German. I'm pride. Prideful, you know. No, all this stuff. Hereditary pride. Do you? Family line, come out. All that pride. Come on, all the way out. All that English pride, come out, come out, come out. All the way out, gotta go. All the way out. All that Spanish pride, go. All the way out. All those pride spirits, gotta go. Come on, gotta go. Jesus' name. We're all one blood in Jesus Christ. Amen. Blood brothers and blood sisters with each other, even if we've come from different races, doesn't matter because, you know, we're all one in Christ, same blood. Got the blood of Jesus. We're covered and washed in the blood. And we're taking in the spiritual life-giving blood when we take communion. Oh, yes. So, with being a divided house, yeah, and be a house of blood that you're supposed to be, right? The house of blood fought with blood. And we are the Lord's house. And we are the redeemed of the Lord. And how do you redeem us? With the blood. So we're the house of blood because the priest handled the blood. We're the temple of blood, right? We handle the blood of Jesus. We apply the blood of Jesus over everything. I do anyway. Apply it over my home, my stuff, myself, my body. If you apply the blood over yourself today, apply it right now. I apply the blood of Jesus right over me right now. You put your hand on your head. Apply that blood of Jesus over you. The blood of Jesus. Just speak that blood over you. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus through every fiber of my being, through my spirit, my soul, my body. The blood of Jesus. That life-giving blood. The life is in the blood, the Bible says. So spiritual life is in the blood too, as well as healing life. So apply that blood against your sickness and diseases right now. That whatever's wrong in your body, put your hand on yourself and say, I apply this blood. The life is in the blood. So I apply the life of God against this sickness and disease right now. In Jesus' name, healing and health go into my body through the blood of Jesus right now. That blood cleanses me from all sin, all unrighteousness, and sickness is rooted in sin, folks. Yeah, there was no sickness in the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve sinned. They didn't have any such thing. It came through sin. It came through Satan. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about.
But we just rebuke that, the spirit, in Jesus' name, of sickness and infirmity through the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, right now, command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name all the way out. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose the people. Let them go all the way out. Loose them and let them go. Come out. Come out now. Come out now. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Up and out, up and out, up and out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Up and out. Up and out of there. You got to go. Keep going in Jesus' name. Jesus said, in my name, you will cast out devils. Come out of there. All the way out. All that infirmity spirit. Come out. All that infirmity. All that sickness. Go, go. Come out. 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 All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the way out. Come out. Come out. Come out. We command you to go. We have authority over you. The spirit, the subject to us, they have to obey. They have to go. Come out in Jesus' name. Keep coming out. Out, 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 out of there. All the way out. Out, 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 out. Up and out. Come on. Let's go. Move out of there, demon. Up and out. You've lost your house. Yeah, we don't belong to you, demon, anymore. No, no. We cast you out because you've lost your house. And you can't stay. You can't hang out here anymore. We tear down your strongholds in Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, and the word of God. That in my name, you will cast out devils. We will cast down every vain imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. And amen. Amen. We know who we are, devil. And we know who you are. You're not hiding anymore. Now, we got discernment of spirits in operation. We recognize you need to come out of there all the way out. In the name of Jesus right now, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, you have to go. Every one of you that's been called out, you have to go. All that sickness, all that infirmity, in the name of Jesus, right now, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All that self-righteousness, you come out too. That self-righteous spirit, I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name, all the way out. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. I tell you, we had problems with the show tonight, the program, and we're still having problems here. So we need to get this in order. We're going to have to probably sign out here because it just quit working on me again. So probably it's time to end the show anyway. But appreciate you tuning in, and that's why we lost a lot of the people tonight, because the first 30 minutes they wouldn't let me get into the program. They wouldn't let it begin. And I tried 30, 40 times, I don't know, get in, and it wouldn't let me in. And then the sign comes up, well, we're currently experiencing issues, and our engineers are working on it. So I'm sorry about that, folks. There's nothing I can do about that tonight. So we actually preach a different message than what was planned, because I really didn't have time to do it justice, the message that I had for you tonight. And so I did teach on something different. But we appreciate you tuning in, those who did make it in and didn't give up after 30 minutes of not being there. But we love you. We'll be back next week. Lord bless you and keep you, and appreciate you tuning in. Bye-bye now.
Like a mighty wind. Come like a mighty wind. Lord, start a fire in our hearts, burning with desire to share your love. Come and unite us, help us win. Thank you. like a mighty wave. Come like a mighty wave. Lord, send your spirit all across the land. Leave no darkness.
Good. All right. Bye-bye now.